Well, good evening, everyone. Hope everybody's doing okay. Tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit about prayer and how important it is that we go to the Lord in prayer. When we come, a lot of us, we come across difficult decisions in our lives, or circumstances come up in our lives, and we have to make a quick decision, or sometimes it might be a real hard decision, whether or not to buy a house, or a financial decision, or maybe a medical decision, whatever it is. And it's important that we always try to go to the Lord first in prayer and ask Him first what we should do. And tonight I wanted to look at two different examples from the Old Testament. And first example, we're going to talk about Joshua, and then we're going to look at David. And first of all, I wonder if we could look over in the book of Joshua, starting in chapter 7, Joshua 7, verse 1. Joshua 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabadi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spoke unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebriam, and smote them in the going down, whereof the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes, and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord, until eveningtide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore thou liest upon thy face. Israel hath sinned, and they also have transgressed my covenant which I have commanded them. For they have even taken the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from you. So here from this story, we can see just before this chapter, as we all know about the story of how Joshua and the Israelites had a great victory over the city of Jericho. You remember the story how they marched around the city and God sent a great earthquake, and they were able to rush in and take over the city, and the city was completely destroyed, and they enjoyed a great victory. And now they were up against another city, the city of Ai, as we just read here. And I think Joshua and his men, they were all pumped up now. They had a great victory. And I think maybe seeing from verses 2 and 3 here, we can see that maybe Joshua and his men got a little overconfidence, maybe, or maybe even a little pride crept in their hearts. And so when they went up against the city, and Joshua sent out his men to spy it, and they came back and gave them the report. And they said, look, Joshua, this looks like a pretty easy city. I think we can just take this with a couple thousand men. And at this point, Joshua had a decision to make. You know, he said, then he probably thought to himself, yeah, you know, we God gave us the great victory. I'm sure he's going to give us another victory again. And from what I thought when I went through this passage, I thought, well, Joshua made a big mistake here. And he didn't go to the Lord first and ask the Lord what he should do, whether or how he should go about attacking the city, or if he should even do it at all. And as we see here down in verse 5, you know, well, Joshua gave him permission. He said, go ahead, take your 2,000 or 3,000 where you think we need, and we'll go up and go up against the city. And you look down in verse 5, even before they got to the gates, 36 men were completely wiped out. And even before they got to the gate, and of course they saw this, they got scared, they turned tail and ran, and they started heading down the hill. And as they were running away, more men were even killed before they finally retreated from the city. And of course, this really upset Joshua. As we read down through verses 7 and 9, we just read how he was upset, and he prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, what happened? You know, how come we weren't able to defeat these men? And, you know, what's going on? Now the Canaanites and all these people are going to think that, you know, that you're not with us and that you're not for us, and we're going to be able to fight against these other nations here in the land of Canaan. And then God gives them the answers, we know. He told them how that there was sin in the camp, and that's why they weren't able to defeat the men of Ai. And it's all because if Joshua first went to the Lord and prayed to him first and asked him what to do, Joshua would have found out that there was sin in the camp, and he would have to deal with Achan, as you read later in the later past this part, how he had to deal with Achan and his family, very sadly. And after that, they were able to go back and just defeat the city of Ai. But in the process of all this, they lost men, they lost their character. A lot of bad things happened as a result of him not going to the Lord first in prayer. So that's one of the things that the Lord showed me, an example of how important it is. And it's very important in our lives. You know, we can very easily get caught up in the things of life. People can ask us to do certain things, and if we don't go to the Lord first, it could be sometimes disastrous, or it could hurt other people around us if we don't first go to the Lord and ask him what we should do, whether or not we should take on a certain responsibility, whether it's in the church or at work, or maybe the boss wants you to become, you know, in charge of a certain amount of people or something like that. If you say, sure, yeah, I can do it, and you don't go to the Lord first, it could be disastrous. You never know. And as Christians, God, he's really wants to be involved with everything in your life, and he wants you to go to him first and ask him first what to do. And I'll just ask my wife if I could share this little story about something that I did not too long ago, and I didn't go to the Lord first in prayer, and it was kind of me and her decision, I guess. But last year, it was 2 years ago, we have an outdoor wood boiler that we heat our house with, and for years I was always splitting wood by hand and all that. It's pretty hard work. So my wife and I were like, you know, we need to get a log splitter. I'm getting older now. I'm getting tired of splitting wood by hand and all this. And we're like, yeah, let's just go get one, you know. So we went down to, actually she went to Tractor Supply and got it for me. Kind of surprised me with it. But we used a credit card, and we never went to the Lord first and prayed about it. We just went and did it and everything. Well, then when you know it, 3 months later, our wood stove broke down, and it sprung a bad leak, and it was very costly. And we asked our neighbor to fix it for us, and that didn't work out. And then we had it shipped out to Minnesota, because that was the only place that could fix this style of wood stove for us. And that didn't work out. So it ended up being a very costly decision. And it cost us actually extra money. So then the credit card and just everything. And it just turned out to be not a very good decision as I look back upon it. That's something I regret. And that's just one example. And I thought about it later. I'm like, why did this all happen? I said, you know what? It's because I didn't pray about it first, and I didn't ask the Lord. And it could have saved me a lot of money. So anyway, that's just an example. And also, I was wondering if we could look over in the book of First Chronicles chapter 14. Excuse me. First Chronicles chapter 14, starting at verse 8. We'll look at another example from the Old Testament of David, one of my favorite Old Testament characters. 1 Chronicles 14, starting at verse 8. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, and all the Philistines went up to seek David, and David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, Shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto him, Go up, for I will deliver them into thy hand. So they came up to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there. Then David said, God has broken in upon my enemies in my hand like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore they called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they burned, and they burned with fire. Verse 13, And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God, and God said unto him, Go not up after them, turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to the battle, for God has gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. David therefore did as God commanded him, and he smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. So we can see here from this passage, David made a right decision, didn't he? By going, not only did he go to the Lord once, he went to the Lord twice. And we can see how, we all know that David was probably one of the best kings, one of the greatest kings that Israel had. And also, at this time, David was just anointed king recently. And he just took over Jerusalem from the Jebusites and set up his kingdom there, set up his throne there in Jerusalem. And he was gaining power, he was gaining respectability, and of course his arch rivals, the Philistines, didn't like this. And so the Philistines went out against him and tried to bring him down. And so David asked the Lord, he said, Lord, what should I do? Should I go up against him? And the Lord said, yes, go take him and go up against them. And of course David did, and they had a great victory. And so then, as you see down in verse 13, the Philistines didn't give up, did they? They went up after David again, and they said, and here at this point, David could have very easily, he said, all right, I had this one victory, just like Joshua, but he didn't. And he went to the Lord again. He said, Lord, what should I do? And the Lord told him to go a different way, to go up behind him. To me, it sounded like a sort of like a sneak attack. He went up behind him another way, up around on the other side where the mulberry trees were. And he says, when you hear me rush up over the tops of the mulberry trees, then you can go forward. So God wanted David this time to take a different approach. And if he didn't pray to the Lord and ask him what to do first, it could have been just like Joshua, could end up being a disastrous battle. And, I thought that was really neat how David did pray twice, and both times he gained two victories. And the Lord blessed him greatly for it. And it said that in verse 17, you see the result. It said, the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. And the people feared God and David greatly because David obeyed and he prayed twice to the Lord. And it resulted in a great blessing for him. So we can see the importance of prayer and how important it is that we go to God always in prayer. And just want to look over in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Very familiar verse, but it's always a good reminder to us all. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Just be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I like how verse 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. in prayer and supplication. And I even got that circled, everything. You know, it's important that we go to God in everything in prayer. And he's, you know, like I said, he's concerned with every little detail in our life. And every, you know, just he just loves us. And he just wants us to come to him each time. He's our Father, and he wants to protect us. He cares for us, and he loves us. And he knows what's best for us. And he knows us better than we do. And it's important that we go to him every time in prayer. And as a result, if we do that, it says there, and then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're going to have more peace in our lives if we go to the Lord constantly in prayer. And he'll take care of our fears and anxieties and whatever trials we're going through also. And we'll have that constant peace of Christ in us if we constantly go to God in prayer about everything. Ephesians, just back over a few pages, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6, 18 says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So here Paul encourages us to pray always and with and be watching. Prayer and watching. And Jesus always, he stressed that also a lot too in the Gospels over in Matthew chapter 26, the last verse we look at. Matthew 26, verse 41. I was never good at sword drills. All right, Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. So there again, we're encouraged to watch and pray, because the enemy's out there. And our brother Andrew gave a good message a few months ago about spiritual warfare and how important it is that we have our armor on, and how important, and one of that part of armor, I think, a lot is prayer, and we need that. And we need to pray for one another. We need to pray watchfully, always watching. The devil's out seek and destroy. And it's important that we're always watching, that we don't enter temptation, because our spirit is willing. We want to do what's right, and we love the Lord, but we have our flesh we have to deal with. And our flesh is weak, and like Jesus said, he knows us. So it's important that we're always in prayer and watching. So just hope this was a little encouragement to you all, and I'll just close in a word of prayer. Our Lord, we just thank you for this evening, Lord, and it's good to be in your house tonight, Lord, and just learning more of you. And Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the power that it has, Lord, and may we read it each day and adhere to it. We thank you for prayer, Lord. We thank you that because of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you broke down that middle wall, that partition, Lord, that the veil was torn away so we can enter in the Holy Holies with you each day, each hour, each minute, Lord, and just pray. And we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you hear our prayers, Lord, and you answer our prayers. And just thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.